Ephesians chapter 6. You'd be much in prayer for me tonight. We left the house, and not only left the house, but left my notes there. So you are just a week's worth of work in just a few pages, but the Lord will help me tonight, so you pray for me. And you'll understand, he might just been have a little sense of humor since I'm preaching on faith. We'll be all right. Verse 13. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I've been preaching for a number of weeks now, off and on This Means War, our series of messages. We've been taking each piece of armor and developing a message around that. We had the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of the gospel of peace, and now we're going to be talking about our shield of faith. Our shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith, would you not agree with me, is one of the greatest assets of being a Christian? It is. Because, and this is why, Satan's number one tool against the child of God has always been doubt. Doubt and deception. He used it in the very, very beginning. And so he still uses it today to get us down and to get us discouraged. And it seems like every day of my life, in fact, the girls can testify and Cal Ray can testify. I may have mentioned it here before. And there's a lot of people that I pray with on a daily basis that call our office that have struggles with their assurance that they know Christ as their Savior. They've done all that they know to do. And we try to assure them and tell them, you've done all you need to do. You just have to, by faith, accept what Christ has done for you. And you think you have victory. The Lord has finally, the light bulb has went off, and then they'll call the very next day. I need prayer. I'm doubting my salvation. And that pains me to no end to think that people struggle with that. But there's people here tonight, no doubt, that struggle with the fact that Christ can do anything in your life. He can save you, he can set you free, and he can also provide your every need. People struggle with that doubt, not only doubt of salvation, but just the doubt that he can take care of you. Do you believe that he can? Do you really believe that he can? We're going to look at this shield of faith tonight. And you just bear with me for a moment. I have something at the end of the message that I want to display to you. We're going to be talking about faith a little bit differently than maybe you're anticipating tonight. But first of all, let's notice this shield and just a few things about this shield. First of all, notice the priority of the shield. The priority of the shield. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. He says it's important that you have the helmet, the breastplate. It's important that you have the boots. Those are all vital. You can't go to war without those. But above all, make sure you have the shield of faith with you. And that's very important because all those, the first three that we have talked about, the belt that where all the weapons hung on, the shoes, the breastplate, those are what the soldier was supposed to have on them at all times. But it was their responsibility to actually pick up and take the shield of faith. Now, these shields were developed in a little bit different manner, maybe than you're accustomed to. And that's what we want us to notice second, not only the priority, but notice the purpose of the shield. The shields were built, and Tom Martin built this, I'm not sure when, but with the armor. But this is sort of similar to what they would have had. Some shields were made of metal. A lot of shields were made of wood. I read after a lot of scholars, Dr. Adrian Rogers had a great sermon on this, and he brought out the fact that they were made of wood. And a lot of other ones believe they were made of metal. But whatever they were actually maybe a little bit longer and taller than this. Because the purpose was the soldier could hide behind the shield and not have to worry. They would be protected, and they could hide their entire body behind the shield. Now grab onto that. Remember what this represents. It's a shield of faith. And God said, I want you to build your shield in the way that you can hide behind the shield and be protected from the enemy's fiery darts. And that's what the purpose was. The purpose was to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now that can mean two different things from what I've studied. Now what they would do to quench the fiery darts, they would take this wood, and we know from a sermon our pastor preached years ago on anoint the shield, they would actually take a skin of an animal, a lamb skin, and they would wrap the shield in that lamb skin. Now, of course, he preached about anointing it and keeping it moist with oil, but what they would do to quench the fiery darts, they would soak the skin in water and wrap it around the shield. That way when a fiery dart would come and penetrate it, it would immediately be extinguished because it was wrapped in the skin of the lamb that had been soaked in water. Now there's two different types of fiery darts, you have to understand. What they would do is they would actually sometimes dip the tip of their arrow in poison. And that way all it would have to do was just graze the soldier, and immediately poison would enter into that system of the soldier, and it would die a terrible death, but very quickly. But I think more than that, it meant actual fiery darts. They would take the tip of the arrow, dip it in pitch, and set it on fire, and shoot it at the enemy. And you say, Brian, why do you think it's this? Because that's the way the devil wants to attack you and everybody in here tonight, with a fiery dart. He not only wants to penetrate you, but he wants to burn everything else around you. His job and his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will use any means necessary to do that. And that's why we must above all, take the shield of faith to quench the fiery dart. Because Satan's purpose is to get us to death. That's one of his arrows. But there's many arrows that Satan will shoot at us. And listen, his purpose is not only to destroy us, but to destroy everybody else around us. And that's what fire does. When fire comes, it not only can penetrate a house, but when the fire starts to it'll burn the entire house up. See, one little match can kindle a big fire, and that's what Satan's desire is. His purpose is to get us down. So the purpose of the shield of faith is to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now you have to understand this as well. The potential of the shield. I like it when it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's very, very important, because Satan can throw anything he wants to at you, but as long as you take the shield of faith with you, it can be able to withstand any dart Satan shoots at you. You have doubt coming your way? Boom, the shield of faith can quench it. You have discouragement? Boom, the shield of faith can quench it. You have depression? Boom, the shield of faith is there. No matter what you're facing tonight, discouragement, death, disease, whatever Satan's shooting at you, hallelujah, the shield of faith is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts. The priority of it, the purpose of it, the potential of it. Notice the protection of it. As I mentioned, it was as tall as the soldier was. But it was very important, because I've talked to a lot of people and that been in the military, and especially in units or battalions, whatever you want to call them. And they said the most dangerous place to be as a soldier is to be away from your team. Anytime you try to be a lone soldier, unless you absolutely have to, you're coming into dangerous territory. Because when you have a unit, when you have a team, you're that much more powerful when you're together. And the Roman soldiers, that's what Paul was talking about, these Roman soldiers, and these Romans would know what they were talking about. The church of Ephesus would know what he was talking about. What they would have is they would have these pieces that would come out, and they would actually interlock with a soldier beside them. Okay? So they would have a soldier beside him, a soldier beside him, a soldier beside him, and on the other side as well. So can you imagine a wall of soldiers with a wall of shields coming at you, and you trying to shoot everything at them, but it ain't going to happen because they're interlocked together. So now it's not just one soldier. It's an army of soldiers that have actually made one huge soldier. And they would actually take these, and you may have seen this before, they would take these shields and they were interlocking together, and they would get in rows and they would get underneath the shield and they would actually form a tank. A modern day tank is what they would do. And they would walk after the enemy with the getting under the shield and behind the shield, interlocked with one another. It was one big, massive army coming at the enemy. All together, all one, an army of one. That's a great picture of what the church is supposed to be. That's how we can be protected tonight. The worst thing you can do when you're under the attack, and I feel the Lord right here, when you're under the attack of the enemy and the fiery darts are being shot at you, the worst thing you can do is leave the army. The worst thing you can do is stay home from church and think that you can take care of it yourself. You know what you have here in this sanctuary tonight? Young and old alike. You wouldn't know they're young and old when they're under the shield and behind the shield. But every one of us, when we work together and bring our shields of faith together, it's one big massive army going after the enemy. That means when he shoots at me, he shoots at you. And hallelujah, if we all carry the shield of faith, thank God we can quench all the fiery darts that the wicked one throws at us. And Satan, as I said, his tools is to steal, kill, and destroy. And they would have ways to try to overcome this. And that's why it was very important for them to stay together. Now, this is just a little side item that you may think is interesting and may not, but it kind of goes along here because through the years, and the Persians invented this way of fighting, and they still had it in the age of the Romans. They would actually, how many of you play chess or ever heard of chess? Maybe I should say that. I used to play when I was a kid, don't much anymore. But remember the castle on the four corners? It had a name, it's called a rook. And I've always wondered why it was called a rook. And one day I was listening to the radio and it happened to come on and explain where the rook came from. Rook is actually not spelled R-O-O-K, it's spelled R-U-H-K. That's the original spelling of it. And a rook was actually a form or a device, rather, to be able to come at people when they're fighting in chariots. What they would do is they would build castles inside of chariots, and they would build them high, build a tiny castle on a chariot. That way the chariot could hold two or three people with arrows shooting at them from all directions. That's where the word rook comes from. And they would have had these in these times. So no doubt the church of Ephesus knew what he was talking about. He says, hey, Satan's going to use every device possible to come at you from all directions. But if you take the shield of faith, you have nothing to worry about. As long as you're behind the shield, it's the most important piece of armor, the shield of faith. Amen. You doing all right? Everybody doing good? And it says, I've already mentioned this, but we'll mention it in passing. It says, notice the possession of it. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Whose responsibility was it to get the shield? It was the soldier's. The soldier's responsibility. If he wanted to, he could have woke up that morning and left the shield on the floor. But it was his responsibility to take it up. He was supposed to have the breastplate, the shoes, and the belt on at all times. But it was his responsibility to take the shield. When you get up every day, God's not just going to give you a shield of faith and drop it in your lap. It's your responsibility to take it up every day of your life. And this is the reason why people have shallow faith. It's because they don't carry it with them. And the way you get more faith, the way you get faith is you get in the Word of God. That's where your shield of faith is stronger, and that's where you fortify your shield, is to get in the Word of God. And that's the problem with shallow, when people have shallow faith, that means they're not praying and they're not reading. Because if you were praying and you were reading, you would know to take your shield. And as a soldier, you would want every defense possible to withstand what the enemy, he says right here, we know what the enemy is going to use. He's going to use fiery darts. So if you knew what the enemy was going to use against you, wouldn't you take a shield with you if you know it could work? So why do we as Christians know what the enemy's throwing at us, and yet we don't use faith. Well, I think I can use willpower. Well, I think I can use my knowledge. Well, I think I'll try to figure it out my way. You'll fail. You must take the shield of faith. You know, all right? Notice the principles of the shield of faith. This is where I want to pick your brain a little bit, and I want you to think in your mind. I want to ask you a question. I want to raise of hand by the end of it. And we're coming down to a close, and you can say amen right there. But just bear with, thank you. You can just bear with me for a moment. The principles of the shield of faith. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have a lot of faith standing on a quarter inch of ice? Or would you rather have a little faith on 4 feet of ice? Okay, by raised hand, how many of you would rather have a lot of faith on just a little bit of ice? Okay. Okay. How many would have the other? How many would rather have a little bit of faith on a lot of ice? Okay. It's about 50. Some of you are scared to raise your hand. You ought to know me better than that right now. And I don't mean to embarrass anybody. I've asked a lot of people that the last few weeks, and I've got the same kind of answers, about 50-50. Can I tell you this? Faith is irrelevant apart from its object. In this case, faith doesn't matter. Because, and see, this is where we're at. Most Christians that I talk to, most Christians that I'm around, a lot of them, put faith in faith. They put faith in faith. And faith is irrelevant apart from the object of your faith. Faith is not a resource. Faith should be the source. You should worship the source, not the faith. So what's the source of your faith? Jesus. It should be. And see, when we put our faith in Christ and not faith in faith, then we can withstand the wiles of the devil. See, that's why people struggle, and that's why people are shallow in their faith, because they put faith in their faith. And here's what they say. I don't know if I have enough faith. That tells me you're putting faith in your faith. And you're putting faith in yourself. And your object of your faith is on you and your inabilities instead of God's ability. You say, well, Brian, how do I have more faith? Okay, let me describe it to you this way. Can I make a statement here? And you may not agree with me, but hear me out. You've already got enough faith. A lot of you don't need more faith. You need more truth. Because a little bit of faith and a whole lot of truth, and you can get a lot accomplished. And you've already got enough faith inside of you. God has already given you faith in order to accomplish anything that He wants in your life. The problem is you just have to access it. Everything God has given you, He's already given you. You just have to access it by faith. Okay? Who's the source of our faith? The author and finisher of our faith is Jesus, right? He has everything we could ever want, every blessing, everything we could ever want, He's already given to us. But it's stored away on deposit, and we have to access it by faith. Okay? Would you agree with that? Now, I've heard people say, our faith can get bigger, our faith can get smaller. And they use the verse, God has given every one of us a measure of faith. You go home and read it. Romans 12:3 is where that is at. That's not what it says. It says God has given everyone the measure of faith. If you look up the word measure in the Greek, it means an instrument. It has nothing to do with measurements as far as ounces, weight. It has to do with an instrument or a tool. So if we look at it that way, it says God has given each one of us the tool or the instrument of faith. Okay. Tim, I need your help. Colton, I need your help. Leslie, go ahead. Buckle family, get on up here. Come on down. You're the next contestant on Rubyville is Right. All right. Tim, go on down there. You're going to be Grace. Or should... No, let's put Leslie down there. Leslie could fit that job better. Grace. Okay. Your faith. No, your works. Your faith. Okay? Right there. Ready? Okay. Okay. Colton right here. He needs to be saved. What's the Bible say? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? Did I get that pretty close? Ephesians? Okay, so Colton, let's go get saved. He's going to works. Can you get saved? Why not? Well, that's not the way it works, does it? Faith with that, you can't have, be saved through your works, can you? No, you have to be saved by grace through faith. Grace is all the way down there. How do we access grace? Through faith. Right? So, Mom, why'd you go all the way over there for? It'd be a lot shorter message. Okay. He needs to be saved. You've got grace for him to be saved. Need to be saved. I need grace. Go ahead and give him some, go ahead and give him some grace. Good. Now, is he okay right here? He's not done yet, is he? Why? Because faith without is. So he's got grace. Now you got to go back to works, buddy. Feels good to get grace, doesn't it? But that's not it. No, you've got to. Got to have the works. And what's the works say? Come on, Dad. Works. That's works. Now, we're not done. It's not enough that you came to an altar. That's important. I know you're already saved, but just humor me, okay? Do you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Have you asked him into your heart? Has he given you grace? So, can you tell me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? If he's, did you call on him? So what's that make you? You're saved. Right, okay. Get up. Turn around. Here's another part of works that we don't do very often. Hey, I wanted to introduce to you Mr. Colton Buckle. Colton, did you give your heart to Jesus tonight?
Yes.
Well, you did a long time ago, but I'm just saying. That's works. Now, he couldn't skip that process and go to Dad here because that ain't going to work. Okay, so you go on through life. Okay, here we go. Lord, I need a financial miracle. I need some money. Would you provide for me? What are you going to do? Go to Grace. Grace, you need some money. Okay. Now, you got money to provide your every need, right? Now, what do you do with that? You go do what you're supposed to do, but you're supposed to take that 10% and works. Put that in the offering plate right there. That's works right there. That's faith. You know what you're saying? By faith, you're trusting God to provide for you on the 90. And saying, God, I trust you. Now, see, now you guys can go sit down. Thank you. That's a simple illustration that has confused people in their whole life. They don't understand. They think, well, I can go to works and I can get it done. But no, faith without works is dead. But you got to get grace before you can go to works. And so in order to get grace, you got to access it by faith. And faith is the key to get grace. Right? So God has grace on deposit. Faith accesses the grace. And works is the proof that you got the faith. So the doctors say you have cancer. And you say, Lord, I want to be healed of this cancer. And so you go to Grace and say, Grace, I need some healing. And Grace says, all right. So now by faith, you go to the doctor and say, you know what? I think the Lord has healed me. I'll do what you say, but I know the Lord has healed me. I believe by grace through faith that I am healed. And you believe God, believe God, believe God, and trust Him. And you don't have faith in your faith or in your ability. You have faith in the Almighty God that He will provide your every need and take care of your every need. That's how wonderful and marvelous grace is. Just a little bit of faith and a lot of truth can access so much grace that you can't even handle it. The principle of the shield of faith. How do we fortify our shield? We get in the Word. We pray. We use the shield. And most of all, we get behind it. We get behind it. Because you understand when the devil faces you and the devil comes at you, if he sees a shield of faith, he'll know he's messing with the wrong person right there. Because at any point in time, Satan knows faith can defeat him. Because he will try to sow the web of doubt. He'll try to sow the web of discouragement and deceit. He did it back with Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, you won't die. You won't die. And then he deceived her. He said, you'll be like God. Deceive and doubt. And he still does the same thing. You know what he tells you right now? God can't save you. God can't save you. Wait till you're older. You're young right now. Wait till you get older and then get saved. Well, now you're too old. You're too old to be saved. God can't save you. You've done so much. You're too wicked. If people knew what you'd done in the past, they wouldn't even allow you in this church. Why are you even here? You don't deserve it. He is right there. We don't deserve it. That's why it's grace. And tonight, whatever you need, I'm going to encourage you again. Above all, take the shield of faith. Use it tonight. Use faith to defeat the enemy and to quench the fiery darts that he's shooting at you tonight. If you're able to stand, please stand. There'll come the song of invitation. As your heads are bowed while they're coming. I want to ask you with all sincerity.